Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Aaron Torres, he is a host on Fox Sports Radio, writes a lot about college basketball, college football, also host of the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast. Contributes to The Athletic, wears a lot of hats.
Yes.
He joins us right now. You can follow him on Twitter at @Aaron_Torres. Aaron, you sent out a tweet that caught my eye on Saturday about...
Caught a lot of people's eye.
Yeah, it really did. I'm sure Kansas fans loved it.
Not getting a ton of calls from Lawrence, Kansas right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I doubt they want to have you on. But you think that Tennessee, just based on what they've done this year, you think that right now that they're the best team in the country. Explain why that is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really simple, right? Like, this isn't college football where the polls truly matter, you know, a month into the season or whatever, 6 weeks into the season, and we're going to use them as a talking point throughout the year. And so I think in basketball, you have a little more wiggle room to actually rank teams based on every individual person's opinion of who's best, who would beat who on a neutral court. And so, look, you know, I do my homework. I watch these games, and I go back to that Kansas-Tennessee game, and I understand a Kansas fan's point of like, hey, we beat Tennessee. I get that. But Kansas has struggled. They've had a couple overtime wins. And, guys, you watch that Kansas-Tennessee game just like I did. Tennessee was the better team for about 34, 35 minutes. They wore down late. Grant Williams wasn't around late as he fouled out. And I think if you're telling me that right now, you know, who do you think is the better team? I think it's Kansas. I don't think that 1-4-5 minute stretch of play should determine, you know, individually who the better team is when we have a month and a half of data at this point.
Well, and also just the total body of work for Tennessee. They win at Memphis in a big rivalry game in front of a sold out building. They beat a good Louisville team on a neutral court. They beat Gonzaga on a neutral court. They've done some good things throughout the year. One thing I want to ask you about, though, is with this Tennessee team, and this is something that I started to notice a year ago, but it's especially true this year. They can win any style of game. They won 102-92 on the road this past weekend. They could win a game in the 50s also with their defense. To me, that's what makes this Tennessee group really special. There's not one type of team that I could point to and say, oh, this is the type of team that'll give Tennessee trouble in March. I feel like they could win in any style.
Man, you know, I'm actually very upset right now because I just finished recording my podcast, which should be up any minute. People can find it on my Twitter page. And I did 20 minutes on Tennessee versus Kansas, and I did not bring up that point. And I'm actually very upset at myself for that. But, like, I think that's a legitimately great point. And, you know, what does it mean today on December 17th? It means obviously great things, but I also think it points to a team that can have a lot of success in March, you know, and this is my argument against a team like Virginia every year. You know, I'm one of the few people nationally that doesn't, you know, bow at the altar of Tony Bennett because he wins a bunch of games in January and February. And what I say every year is, like, it's great that you're beating Georgia Tech and Wake Forest in January, but come March, you only know how to play one way. And we all know what happened last year when they got down late to UMBC. I'm watching that game. They're still running 26 seconds off the clock to get a shot. And you're sitting there like, guys, you can't play this way. And so to bring it back to your point on Tennessee, I think it's such an important point because they do it on both ends of the court. They defend. They you know, they can shoot the ball. They have an inside presence, obviously, with Grant Williams. And then, like you said, if a team gets hot and Tennessee can't do anything to stop it, they can go point for point with them. If they need to play in the half court, they can do that. And it's something that I, frankly, guys, credit to you guys, I hadn't really considered it until right now. But I think that's a great sign, not only for right now, but as you get into SEC play, as you have to go on the road, and also when you get into the NCAA tournament.
You know, Kentucky's really struggled against decent to good competition in the early going. They're going to get a lot more opportunities with a tough schedule. How much better do you see this Kentucky team getting throughout the season to where it could become a factor in March once again?
Yeah, I think it's a great point, and it's funny because I've kind of this year towed the line more than ever before of, you know, with Calipari, his teams are always going to get better, but I also do understand the frustration of fans saying, like, why do we have to wait until February 15th for everything to click? And I do think that this weekend they play North Carolina. I do think that is going to be a game that I think kind of gives us a gauge of, is this team actually improving, or did they just beat a really bad Utah team? But to kind of answer your question directly, like, I do think that it would be disingenuous to say, like, hey, history tells us Kentucky's going to figure it out. And now what is figured out with this particular team? Is that a ceiling of like a 4 seed last year that they got and making the Sweet 16? Is it actually competing for a national championship with, I think, the upper tier that has separated itself in college basketball? I think Tennessee is certainly in that mix with Gonzaga and Kansas and Duke and Virginia and schools like that. I don't know what that ceiling is, but I do agree with you guys that history tells us Calipari is going to figure it out. He's going to have this team peaking in late February, early March, and come March, as we all know, you only got to beat the teams that are in front of you. You don't have to beat all 68 teams. And so, like, as bad as they are now, would it surprise me if we're sitting there on a Saturday or Sunday watching them play for a trip to the Final Four? It frankly wouldn't surprise me at all.
So Bobby Hurley and Arizona State, ranked in the top 25, they're embarking on kind of a Southern barnstorming tour right now. They played at Georgia over the weekend. They're traveling right up the road to play in Nashville tonight against Vanderbilt. I saw that the line is even going into this game. What do you think about that matchup with Vanderbilt and Arizona State, even without Darius Garland at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, it's really funny. I live on the West Coast, and I spent a lot of time watching these Pac-12 teams, and until I was watching that Arizona State-Georgia game over the weekend, I didn't realize that was what Bobby Hurley was doing. And I think it's a really cool idea from his part as far as playing back-to-back road games. That's traditionally what you do in the Pac-12. You travel, play back-to-back road games. I'll say this is that I think Vanderbilt's still trying to figure things out post Darius Garland. Obviously, it was a brutal injury, and you can't replace the type of talent that kid has and what he brought to that team. I actually saw Vandy in person out when they played USC here in Los Angeles. And so I do think hopefully, that Middle Tennessee game the other night is a sign of maybe them potentially turning things around. But I would also say Arizona State's a really, really good team. Another team that I saw in person a few weeks ago when they played Nevada, they have a freshman named Lugans Dort, who's a Canadian kid who's just a big physical guard, going to create problems for anybody he plays. But you guys would know better than me that Memorial Gym is a tough place to play, weird kind of setup. I think it'll make for a really competitive and fun game tonight. I think Vegas has it about right by calling it about a pick 'em.
Aaron, you mentioned that you're out on the West Coast. How about Belmont coming from Nashville, going to UCLA, and winning over the weekend? I guess a question for everyone that follows this Belmont program here that I would have, how good is this UCLA team? That's not to take anything away from that win. That's impressive anytime you go into a building like that and win. But how good is that UCLA team that Belmont just beat on the road?
I'll be honest, this isn't to take away from what Belmont has done. UCLA is really struggling right now, and Steve Alford, for people who don't necessarily follow the national college basketball scene, there's a lot of people frustrated here with Steve Alford. I think the UCLA athletic department as a whole is kind of, coming to terms with the fact that, for people who don't know, like, UCLA operates as if, hey, it's 1950 and everyone should want to play at UCLA and everyone should want to coach at UCLA. And I think what we saw with the Chip Kelly thing 2 years ago when they beat out Florida to get them is that they realized that they got to spend to compete with the big boys. They got to, do what it takes, and that, they have to kind of change kind of the mindset of their athletic department. And so I bring all that up again because I do think that they're at about wit's end with Steve Alford. I think they're ready to move on from him. And that's just a team that they have a ton of talent, but they had some coaching turnover in the offseason. You don't traditionally hear about that impacting a basketball team the way you would like a football team. but they've had some coaching turnover. They've had injuries, and just right now they're not playing really well. I mean, they got embarrassed by North Carolina, they got embarrassed by Michigan State early in the year, and then losing to Belmont. I'll tell you this, here in Los Angeles, that one did not sit well with UCLA fans, and as I said, you never root for anybody to get fired at the end of the year, but I think, I'll be perfectly honest with you guys, I think that Belmont loss could have been just about the final straw for most UCLA fans.
Rick Bird out there costing other coaches jobs.
Yeah.
Souls.
Yes.
How about that?
breaking necks and cashing checks. That's all they do over at Belmont.
I guess so.
Aaron Torres,
that's what I hear, yeah.
Aaron Torres is a Fox Sports radio host, also hosts the Aaron Torres Sports Podcast. Aaron, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you hopping on with us. Thanks so much for the visit.
Anytime you guys need me, just holler. Thanks for having me.
Aaron Torres, our guest.
Everyone nationally catching on to Tennessee. And we need to discuss Penny Hardaway's comments post-game.
Yeah, Penny Hardaway, not his greatest moment post-game.
No, but
Saturday.
But I can't wait for the next game.
Oh, it's...
I cannot wait to watch that next year.
When you watch that atmosphere in that game, I'm thinking it is criminal that this game was not played.
I know.
For the last 5-6 years, since 2013, they haven't played. That this needs to be an annual. And I like the pattern of played in Memphis, played in Knoxville, played in Nashville. Played in Memphis, played in Knoxville, played in Nashville. That should be an every 3-year rotation.